We turn this evening in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yea, I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have the praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are as the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Our texts this evening are the verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word. The Apostle Paul is writing here to the church of Corinth. That church at Corinth, boys and girls, was founded by the Apostle Paul on his second missionary journey. Paul was there for about 1.5 years. It was composed mostly of Gentiles, composed mostly of poor folks, although all classes of society were represented. And there were all kinds of problems in that church after Christ, after Paul's departure. But especially amongst those problems in that church were factions. The church was split. They had their favorites. There were those who said, I am of Paul. There are others who said, I am of Apollos. There are others who said, well, I am of Cephas. And to best it all, others said, well, I am of Christ. Factions. The Apostle Paul from Corinth went to Ephesus, and in Ephesus he hears of all these problems. With the pastor's heart, he writes a letter to the congregation. And later on, as he writes, he's going to send Timothy there, and Paul also visits there. Problems in the church, strife in the church. Yet, in a key verse in this epistle that Paul writes to them is in chapter 1, if you've got your Bibles open yet, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. Oh, hear this, O Church of Jesus Christ. Paul writes to Corinth, the Spirit says it today, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The church is imperfect. The church has all kinds of faults. There is not a perfect church on earth. But thanks be to God, God is faithful. He is faithful to this congregation. He would give them another shepherd in this passage to lead them. Paul was sending Timothy to work amongst them. The Lord sends stewards in our text over his church to care for his household, the household of faith. I'm preaching a series of passages in my new congregation on the Christian preacher. The Christian preacher as an example, the Christian preacher as a steward, the Christian preacher as a herald of the gospel, the Christian preacher as a builder, the Christian preacher as father, the Christian preacher as a servant. The Lord is faithful. He gives stewards to care for the household of faith. My church in Byron, the elders had selected for house visitation this year the first verses of Revelation 2. That is the letter to the church at Ephesus. Unknown to them, unknown to me, was that I would get a call to another congregation and would accept that call. Very nicely on house visitation, we could take the opening verse of Revelation 2, verse 1, where John in vision sees Christ. Christ standing amongst the golden lampstands, holding in his hands the seven stars. That was a passage of encouragement for a small congregation in Kalamazoo. May that be a strong comfort also for this congregation here in Holland. Christ is standing in the midst of his churches. It is Christ holding the seven stars that is the pastors as he gives a pastor to a church, as he takes a pastor away and reassigns it to another place. Christ knows the needs of his church, and he will give to you an under-shepherd in his timing and in his wisdom. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Notice with me in the first place the person of the Christian preacher. Notice second of all the calling of the Christian preacher. And then thirdly, our expectations of that Christian preacher. Who is a Christian preacher? We may say in the first place, he is not a prophet in the sense of the Old Testament prophets. He does not receive original word of God from God himself that he brings to God's people. There are not new oracles that the preacher receives today. For the word of God is finished. It is complete. I emphasize that a moment because in my old denomination, where many are sick of having what they call the monologue, the Christian preacher, they are calling God's people there to arise from their seats and to give a word from the Lord. What they mean are there are now members in the church who can have instant messages from the Lord. Is that from their study of the Word or apart from the Word? They don't describe it. A new word from the Lord for the church. The Christian preacher doesn't have a new word from the Lord. He has the word from the Lord once delivered, and he brings it. He brings it with all of his faults. He is not infallible. You are to be as the Bereans. Remember those notable Christians of Berea? The saints in the Philippines took that name gladly. When they would hear different messages, first from the cult, then from an Arminian group, and finally from our churches, they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. The Christian preacher is not like the Old Testament prophet who would receive direct revelation from the Lord and then bring it infallibly to God's people. Nor is the Christian preacher a New Testament apostle. There were groups in the Philippines who claimed that they were apostles. And of course, the Roman Church still claims that the Pope is a descendant of the apostles. We don't have that direct commissioning of Christ himself. We are not eyewitnesses of his events. That office of apostle is gone, with the Apostle Paul being the last apostle appointed by Jesus Christ. The Christian preacher is not a babbler. That is, he is not one who now will merely pick from this or that paper, this knowledge, this insight in society, and bring it all together. He is not a babbler in that he tries to entertain God's people with different stories of this or that. I can remember in my seminary days, students who would connect one story to another. The idea was to keep the interest of God's people. God's people who are now used to televisions. That is not the Christian preacher. Nor is the Christian preacher a false teacher. Very interestingly that the Apostle Peter, warning in 2 Peter chapter 2, as there were false prophets in the Old Testament, there are false teachers in the New. The distinction made there that prophecy is ended. We are teachers, but not false teachers. We do not come with our own agenda. We do not come with the lie. But we are to come with only the Word of God. How horrible are the lies of false teachers leading astray, bringing in damnable heresies. God forbid. God forbid that those whom he has called to be ministers of the gospel for the interest of satisfying people in the crowd, or for his own paycheck, brings in his own imaginations or tells the people what they want to hear. What is the Christian preacher? The Apostle Paul, over against the factions there in Corinth, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. He says, we are stewards. And what are stewards? They were managers. managers over a household or managers over the affairs of a household, to whom the householder now has entrusted everything that he has. And this steward must manage that household, take care of the stewards, take care of even the little children of that household. A manager. Stewards. The Apostle Paul is able to use this imagery because in the Roman Greek world there were many wealthy men. These men would be away from their homes for long periods of time. They would hire someone then to watch over their household for them. All of their fields, all of their goods were entrusted to this manager. He would watch over the crops being taken in from the fields. He would watch over the slaves, whether they did their duty in the house. He would watch over the instruction and the care of the children. And he would be answerable to the householder. Boys and girls, you have a very good picture of that wealthy society in Potiphar down in Egypt. You boys and girls will remember that Joseph was taken away captive to Egypt and he was sold to Potiphar. And through the years, Joseph proved himself to be a good manager or steward of Potiphar's house so that Potiphar could entrust more and more upon him so that finally the whole household is under Joseph. That picture of a steward is a very good picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. The householder is our God in Christ Jesus. We are the household of faith. The church is Christ's enterprise. And Christ is gone. He is away. He has gone to heaven. But he entrusts his enterprise, he entrusts his household to faithful managers to care for. He entrusts the souls of his people to these managers, to these stewards. There is a sense that in that household of faith that each one of us are stewards. The Bible uses that sense in the parable of the talents. All of God's children are given opportunities and gifts to use. And as stewards, we are to manage those opportunities, we are to manage those gifts in such a way so that we will give an account to the householder when he comes again, Christ Jesus. In that household of faith, the Apostle Paul, when writing to Titus, writes that elders are stewards in that household of faith. For a bishop, we read in Titus 1 verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he's been taught. Elders are stewards. You elders, now while there is no under-shepherd, you are managers of the household of faith. You are to care for God's saints here. You will give an account of your labors. But now it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that the apostle takes this image for himself and for Apollos. He says, think of us. So account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Managers. Where there were those who were puffed up in Corinth, Paul says, we're nothing. Think of us as underlings. We're just merely the managers. Our eyes must be on the householder, God in Christ Jesus. The minister is nothing more than a manager. A manager who is responsible to guard the household and who is responsible to dispense the goods of the householder for the good of the household. Stewards. Feed the household. Administer the affairs of the household. Care for the servants. Care for the little children. But especially guard. Guard that household. Take care of it. So that thieves do not steal, so that the place does not fall into waste, but rather that things are run well, that when the householder comes back, he may say, well done, good and faithful servant. So a minister is a steward, an underling of God to care for God's household of faith. He is also called, you'll notice in verse 1, as ministers of Christ. Another word there translated ministers really is servants. The Apostle Paul says, we are servants of Christ. That's an important concept there. Servants of Christ, not of the congregation. A week ago, I said to a member of my church at Byron that I climbed up on top of the parsonage roof in order to empty out the gutters from the leaves and those little whirly birds that come down from the trees. He kind of frowned because there was another pastor that took a spill once, and he says, we didn't hire you to empty the gutters on your house. And he meant it well. He was concerned about my well-being. But I had to come back and I had to say, no, you didn't hire me to empty the eave troughs. You didn't hire me, period. The church takes good care of its pastor. No one's belittling that. But as a church, you don't hire a pastor. Even as you soon hope to call another pastor, you're not hiring him. Ahab hired prophets. He hired prophets who would tell him what he wanted to hear when he wanted to go to battle. They were subject to Ahab. They had to say exactly what Ahab wanted, and they had to do what Ahab wanted. You don't hire a pastor. God's word says that a Christian minister is a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ, a servant unto the church. Now that's different, isn't it? Not a servant of the church, but a servant unto the church. Responsible to Christ, answerable to Christ, an underling of Christ, but a servant to care for the needs of the household of faith. These servants, these ministers, are earthen vessels. That is, as the Apostle Paul so beautifully puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, they are earthen vessels that contain a treasure. The treasure is the gospel that's entrusted to them. But earthen vessels were fallible. Earthen vessels, there's nothing glorious about us at all. In fact, if you look closely, you can find many faults in those earthen vessels. They're clay pots. The glory is in the treasure that the Lord Jesus is pleased to have contained and to be brought to the church of Jesus Christ by those vessels. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that the church must pray for those earthen vessels. Your past pastors that have served you, your future pastors, they're earthen vessels. They're going to make mistakes. They're not infallible. They have their faults. You can either look at those earthen vessels and to try to find their faults and magnify those faults, and they will have a very hard time serving the Church of Jesus Christ. Far better than criticizing that earthen vessel would be to pray for those earthen vessels. God, who has been pleased to place the treasures in those earthen vessels to serve the household of faith, pray for them. Paul says that, doesn't he? In the book of Ephesians, he says, pray for me. Pray for your pastors. Pray that the Lord will give more pastors to our churches. You're sitting as one of six congregations without a pastor. There's a shortage. Pray. Pray that out of your own sons sitting here with you, oh, that the Lord might be pleased to call one or two or five of them to be these stewards and these servants of Jesus Christ to His church. That is the person of the Christian preacher. Weak, fallible means called by God to be a steward and to be a servant. Now, what is the calling of this steward? You'll notice in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, that he is called to be a steward of the mysteries of God. What does that mean? What are these mysteries? I can remember once, as sermon critics, we had to go over a young man's sermon, and he had this passage, and he says, yes, there are mysteries that God gives to us. Mysteries why He called us. I can never figure out why He called me. It's a mystery that God ever loved me. And he went on and on. And we had to say to the young man, sorry, you missed the boat here. Yes, it's a mysterious that God chose me, election. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is talking here about at all. The steward here of the mysteries of God are not some kind of dark puzzles that can't be answered, but rather it was those things that once were secret and now have been brought to the light, those things that have been revealed, have been made known by God. His Word, His truth. How the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles has been taken down. The mysteries of God's love in Christ Jesus, the mystery of how the world was formed, those mysteries are all revealed. He has set it forth in His Word, and the Spirit now leads the church in those truths. And to be a steward of those truths of God means that He guards first of all those truths. That is important today. For the Christian preacher. For there are attacks against the Word of God. There are attacks against doctrine today. There are many churches who want nothing to do with doctrine. They say that divides. We want to find the common ground between other Christians. Away with doctrine. God has revealed these truths unto us. Not to fill inquisitive minds, but God has made known these truths for our salvation. And the Christian steward, then, the pastor, is to guard those truths, lest they be stolen away, whether they be denied, whether there be damnable heresies that creep into the church and lead saints away. A marvelous mystery. How did this world come into place? The scientists can study all they want, but they will not come to an answer to that question. But God has revealed it in His Word. 6 days. God spoke and things instantly came into being. There was evening and there was morning, the first, the second, the third day. These things are revealed. And that's a truth that needs to be guarded today over against the evolution that is taught to children in any book that they read or any public museum that they enter. O steward, guard that precious doctrine and dispense that teaching. Cause the household of faith to eat from those mysteries that have been made known for their salvation. Why is there so much trouble in the world today? Why is there so much hatred? Why is there so much killing on the streets? Why is there death? The mystery is revealed to us in God's Word. The fall of man, Adam and Eve into sin and the curse of God. Guard that mystery that has been revealed. Not man is getting better and better, but this world is becoming more sinful. And all the troubles and trials in this world are because of sin. Your and my sin. Oh, we need to guard that mystery of God that has been revealed, even while there are reformed preachers today who don't want to mention sin, who say it's a bad word. It's having negative feeling about yourself. You and I must have the gospel. Indispensable for the household of faith is that they eat from that word of God and they know their own sin and their shortcomings and they fall before the throne of Jesus Christ asking for forgiveness. Oh, the mystery that is revealed regarding the grace of God. What struggles there have been in the church. Does God love all mankind? And that mystery is revealed for us. It's the truth that God's grace is sovereign and particular. He's not a changeable God who loves man for a little while and then when a man dies, then damns him to hell and hates him. There is no common grace. Over against that damnable lie stands the truth of God's word that needs to be guarded today. And needs to be dispensed to the household of faith. The sovereign particular grace that has chosen us, has given us to Christ Jesus, and that irresistibly draws us to Christ Jesus. Oh, may we rejoice in that precious mystery revealed to us in God's Word. Stewards of the mysteries of God. What is life all about? Is it working hard every day in order to get a paycheck and try to move ahead in society? The mystery is revealed. What is life but to know God? The beautiful covenant of God that He has established with us in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a precious doctrine to you and to me? It was a doctrine that drew me and my family to our churches. The fellowship in God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, living without strife, beautiful harmony and unity. God extends it, takes us up into that family. So that we know His friendship. We sang about that in one of our songs this evening, Psalter number 68. The Christian preacher has a calling to be a steward of that mystery. Guard that over against other views of the covenant that are out there today. Not only guard it, but now dispense that mystery for the good of the household of faith. May they eat of that precious truth and find joy and peace in their hearts. What is our calling in this world? the doctrine of the antithesis. The Christian preacher is to be a steward of that mystery of God. That is, he is to guard that truth over against the lie of common grace. We're all the same. We can intermingle with one another. But he's not only to guard it, but he is to dispense that morsel of God's word to his people so that they know how to conduct themselves, how to live in this world in a way that's pleasing to God. These truths are precious truths. They are treasures. We just celebrated Pentecost. When Jesus Christ said it was expedient for him to go away, for unless he would go away, the Holy Spirit could not come. And why is that important that the Holy Spirit would come? Because the Holy Spirit would lead the church into the truth. John 16, verse 13. Treasures. Yes, the doctrines of God's Word are treasures. Treasures that are for the good of the household of faith. The steward must guard those treasures. He must take care of the household of faith, dispense those treasures. So in our text this evening, we have first of all that main emphasis, who is the Christian preacher? Over against that party strife in Corinth, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Paul says, hold on a moment. Who are Christian preachers? They're only underlings, servants. Nothing more than that. Don't think too highly of them. They are stewards of the household of faith. Look to God. He's the householder. Look to Christ Jesus. But the second emphasis of our text is on the faithfulness that is required, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The Christian preacher has a calling. He has to be faithful to the one who entrusted the household into his care. Oh, the household. The house, the wife of the householder, the servants of the householder who look for the good of the household that they may eat and work and live, the children of the householder. So precious to the householder, but he has to go away. Perhaps he has to go fight a battle somewhere else. Or because of his position is away from home for some time, he entrusts it to a man to care for. Puts it all in his hands. That's what the Lord Jesus has done. After his death and his resurrection, Jesus says to his disciples, I leave you. I go back to my Father. But I will not leave you comfortless. Christ Jesus entrusts the household of faith to stewards. Oh, that's humbling. That's humbling for the man who is called to the parsonage and to a church. The householder has entrusted his dear saints. He has entrusted the enterprise, the kingdom, to a mere man. We must be faithful. We must be faithful not only to the householder, but we have to be faithful then to the goods that are entrusted to us. Joseph, when he was there in Egypt, was entrusted with the whole future of the land. All the crops that would be gathered in the good years were entrusted to him. Do, Joseph, whatever you think is best. All the care of the servants of the people of that land were entrusted into his hand. Everything. Joseph was a wise steward. Given grace by God, he knew that he had to store up in the 7 years of plenty so that there would be enough in the years of famine. The Christian preacher is a steward of the goods of the household. He has to be wise. He cannot say, well, there's plenty in the larder. I'll give them whatever there is. Can you imagine, boys and girls, your parents, having different things in the cupboards, and mom says, well, okay, first I'll finish up the oatmeal. So you've got oatmeal every morning for 3 or 4 months. Oh, I've got some eggs. So the next 2 or 3 months you have eggs every morning. You say, oh, oatmeal? At least some of us say, oatmeal for 3, 4 months? One morning is bad enough. No, your mother doesn't do that. She looks at your needs. You need eggs, you need milk, you need oatmeal, you need bread, you need meat. And the Apostle Paul speaks of his ministry, especially when he is giving his farewell address to the church at Ephesus. He says, I have preached the whole counsel of God. I have held back nothing that was profitable for you. The word there, profitable. The steward, out of the larder of God's word, takes from week to week that which is profitable. One could spend one's whole ministry preaching through the Psalms, couldn't they? And they could be profitable sermons, but I would pity that congregation that never got out of the book of Psalms. There's more to God's revelation of himself, right? Or a society that would spend the whole year or 2 years or 3 years in one book of the Bible. Let's move on. There's more to study. So the Christian pastor takes from God's word according to the needs of the household, bringing comfort, bringing a word of admonition, bringing a word of instruction or training. He cares for the household. He has to be faithful to the household itself. That means he has to know the needs of that congregation. Make yourself open to your new pastor, that he may know the needs of this congregation, that he may know the needs of you, each family, and then he may provide out of the larder of God's word that which is profitable for you. Yes, the steward must be faithful to that which is entrusted to him by the householder. What can we learn from this? There's some practical lessons. Number one, the practical lesson is our calling as pastors. I can learn from it. Who am I? What is my work? I am a steward. And I have to look to him who entrusted his household of faith to me. And I say, woe is me! Who is sufficient for these things? And the answer is none of us of ourselves, are we? There is no man sufficient for it. Oh, may we look to him who has called us to equip us, to give us grace and strength from day to day and week to week. Incentive. Incentive is also here. He not only gives grace, but it is he who will judge us. The Apostle Paul says, verse 4, if you still have your Bibles open, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. That's where we finally stand up. The Lord has to judge me. As a steward, I might have to do things for the household that they might not appreciate. I might have to say things that the household might not like to hear. You do have that at times, right, parents? You have to say things to the kids, the teenagers, that they really don't want to hear. That's part of being a parent. At times, that's part of being a steward, to run the household well, even when they don't like what you're doing. Paul says, it's not the household who judges me. Oh, they judge in a sense, but that doesn't make any difference. And thankfully, it's not me myself who judge, because quite often if I look at myself and the work that I do, I would feel defeated. I'd feel, what an unfaithful steward. But it's God who judges. Humbling thought. Second lesson that we can learn is the content of the preacher's work. The preacher cares for the household of faith not out of his own larder, but the householder, that is God in Christ, has provided the larder, the closets, the cupboards, out of which he can feed and clothe and care for the household. Why is that comforting? Because if I, as a preacher, had to rely upon my own resources, my own stories and everything else, you soon would not be eating. But the joy is the householder, that's God, supplies the larder of His Word. And there is sufficient there for the pastor to take from that larder and to disperse to the congregation according to their needs. The foundation has been laid. The building materials are given. And the steward builds the household of God. Third lesson we can learn, as stewards, the authority of our work and the authority of the word that we bring rests in Him who has called us and in the word that He entrusts in our hands. The household might not like the steward at times. That happens. But the authority of that steward is in God, who has said, this is my household and I put it in your hands. Take care of it. The authority of the pastor is in the calling that he receives of God and in the word that he brings, and is insofar as he is faithful to that word, he is able and he must say, thus says the Lord. Fourthly, we learn then the necessary discipline of the pastor. That pastor must first of all himself feed from the word of God, from the larder of God's word, in order to be healthy and to be able to care for the household of faith. It means long and diligent hours as he knows his congregation, as he knows his household and their particular needs, and then brings what is profitable to them from the word of God. Day and night, 24 hours in the day available for that household. He is responsible. It takes discipline. There are lazy pastors. There's a temptation for a pastor when he goes to a new congregation, as they would say, to turn over the pile. One pastor I heard of another denomination says, I preached a whole series of sermons on the catechism. I'm not going to rewrite them. It's all done, and I'll just turn over the pile. I pity the pastor. He probably falls asleep going through this stuff. I pity the congregation that hears that. Discipline. The pastor must give himself so that the word of God, first of all, is food for his own soul. From his soul that he brings to the larder, from the larder for the needs of the congregation. What is your expectation of the pastor that the Lord will give to you? The expectation that he is faithful. Yes, the congregation will judge the faithfulness of that pastor. They will hear him from week to week. That doesn't mean that you have to sit with your finger in the air and say, I wonder if he is being faithful in his work. You've got elders who supervise his work, who will encourage him, who will tell him what is necessary. But yes, he will be judged by the congregation. But the Apostle Paul says, ultimately, that judgment is not what carries the day. The judgment of God. God judges. It's a present, ongoing activity. Every day, the pastor stands as a steward. God is omniscient. He sees, He knows, and the pastor stands in His presence. God judges. And ultimately, God will judge when Christ Jesus comes again. Then we will see the work that was done. Whether there was a building with straw or with bricks of the household of faith. God judges. But our expectation is, second of all, that there will be attentiveness to the needs of the congregation. Paul says, I have not neglected to Ephesus to bring whatever was profitable for you. Elders will help pastors. You've known this congregation for many years. You know the strengths, the weaknesses, the needs. Help the pastors by giving them suggestions. Preach on this area, pastor. Do this, pastor. You members of the congregation, help your new pastor when he comes. You know your own needs. You know passages that perhaps you have been studying in your private devotions, family devotions, or that you've heard misexplained on the radio. And say, pastor, this is what I heard. What do we believe? What does the Bible teach? That Word of God. Attentive to the needs of the congregation, the Christian steward, pastor, will take the larder of God's Word, and he will preach it publicly from Sunday to Sunday. But not just Sunday to Sunday, Paul says, I not only preached publicly, but also from house to house. Oh, how wonderful. Hopefully not threatening. How wonderful when the pastor comes by the sick bed. Not to make a social call, but to open up God's Word. How wonderful when the pastor comes to you in a troubled marriage and he brings the Word of God. How wonderful when the pastor comes and you're unemployed and he brings the comfort of God's care from his Word. How wonderful when at the deathbed of a loved one, the pastor comes into your home and he shares the comfort of those who sleep in the Lord. Their works follow them. What may you expect? You may expect the steward to take the Word of God and to preach it in a way that is logical so that you can follow it. You know what he is saying. You know how it comes out of the text. How wonderful. When that Word of God is brought, not from a cold, detached feelings, but rather from a personal experience. This is what it means for you and for me. This is what transforms our lives. How wonderful when the Word of God is fed to God's people, calling them to faith, calling them to love, calling them to a joy of salvation in their Lord Jesus, calling them to a life of obedience, stewards, underlings, managers of God's household. Our eye is upon Him, the householder, God in Christ Jesus, who loves His household of faith, cares for them, and in due season will give you another steward of those mysteries of God for your salvation. Amen. Father in heaven, we love Thy church. We love the government of the church. We love those whom Thou hast placed over us in the church, pastors and elders and deacons. We love our fellow believers. We pray, look down in thy grace upon this household of faith. Give to them a man of thy choosing to lead them from week to week in the green pastures of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.